So we're wrapping up this morning a series we've been talking about really for the last 6 or 7 weeks on just the presence of God and the importance of His presence in our lives. I don't know about you, but for myself, I cannot imagine what it is like to live away from God's presence. I've grown up my entire life in the church. I mean, yes, it was a privilege, and at times I've taken it for granted, but now, I mean, I have to have my time with God. And I think the more time we spend in His presence, the more we realize that life is meant to be lived in His presence. The primary way that we've been talking about this for the last number of weeks is that we do it through worship. And so I want to conclude, you know, this series, again, just talking about worship and what it is. And so the focus this morning is, come on in for what? To worship. Come on in to worship God. Because, you know, the best experiences I've had in God's presence have been those times where I have been worshiping Him. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends." This is Jesus talking to the church, that He is knocking at the doors of our hearts, saying, if you will just open the door, I'll come in, and we can be in each other's presence. God wants to be present in our lives, not just in a church service, not just in the morning, but He wants to go out with us and what we do in our work. He wants us to come into His presence, to celebrate, to have healing, to have rest. We need to be in His presence. So, today, again, I want to talk about worship. What is worship? And what is not worship? Understand, you and I, we were born to be worshipers. And I've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, and this is sort of just a recap of things. But understand, you were born, you were created, you were made by God. That's more accurate. We are made by God to worship Him. You see, the question for us is not if we worship, but it's really what we worship, or who we worship in our lives. Because whether you realize or not, you are worshiping, because you were made to worship. Some of us, though, we don't worship God. We may worship a person or a thing, but you are worshiping because we are all worshipers. And understand, worship is not just singing songs. It can be. But people sing all the time, and they're not worshiping, right?
That's right.
We've all sung a song, whichever way. But not worshiped, am I right? We've all done this. Worship is not just exalting or lifting up God. As part of it, we've talked about how, you know, lifting up the name of God, this is what, you know, made Lucifer become Satan, is that he wanted to be lifted up above God. He wanted that for himself. But understand, you and I, we are not made just to exalt God. The angels, God created the angels to exalt Him. But we're made to worship. The angels did a lot of things. But God doesn't need us to exalt Him because He has angels for that already. Exaltation is a part of worship. But God did not create us to exalt Him solely. You think about this. I mean, the angels were exalting God long before we were even made. God did not make us because He needed somebody else to exalt Him. But God did make us because He wanted someone to worship Him. What is worship, as we've been talking about? Worship is simply love expressed. You see, if you express something, but it's not in love, then it's not worship. Right? If you love somebody, but you do not express that love, that is also not worship. Worship is when we express our love to God. As we talked about last week, we can express our love in many different ways. We don't have to all do it the same way. But the love that we have for God is a choice love that requires an action on our part, showing Him with our expression our love towards Him. You were created to give. And you were also created to receive. Because that is how God is as well. When He made us in His image, He is a God that gives to us, and He is a God that receives. He will give us His love. And we give Him our love. He receives our love, and we receive His love. And this interaction between us, who God has made, and Him is worship.
Amen.
2 points. That's why we're going to have a short service today. I love a 2-point sermon that cuts like 15 minutes off my preaching. First, who said that? Worship is love. No brainer. But did you know this, that God actually commands us to love Him? Well, how can that be? I thought love was my choice. He's telling me that God is going to force me to love Him? No, He's commanding it. And there's a reason why He commands our love to Him. Yes, love is a choice. It's not something that we fall in and out of, as some people's love is. Oh, one day I'm in love, the next day I'm not. You know, one day I'm in love, the next day I'm not. With God, it is a command. No, you will choose to love me. He is commanding us to make the right choice. That's what He wants to do. There is a right choice, wrong hand, but there is a right choice and there is a wrong choice. And God has commanded us, make the right choice with your life by loving me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength." You must. It's not, you really should do this. It might be good if you do this. No, He is saying, you must do this. You must make this choice to love me. If you drop down a little bit further to Deuteronomy chapter 11, you'll see that all these verses kind of correlate. But here He says again, Deuteronomy 11 verse 1, it says, "You must love the Lord your God and always obey His requirements, decrees, regulations, and commands." Skip down to verse 13. "If you carefully obey the commands I am giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve Him with all of your heart and soul," it goes on to say, "you'll be blessed." You see, God commands us to love Him because it's the best choice for our benefit. The people who fight against God, the people who choose not to love God, they're not living life in its fullness. They're not experiencing God's presence. And we show God that we love Him by worshiping Him, that we express our love to Him by our choices that we make. You may be thinking, well, I've heard that verse before. Where have I heard that verse before? I didn't know that was in the Old Testament. Well, it's also in Matthew chapter 22. You see, Matthew chapter 22, this is where Jesus is actually referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. It says in verse 35, it says, "One of them, an expert of religious law, tried to trap Him with this question." So there's a Pharisee, he's coming to Jesus, and he's trying to trip Him up in His words. And he says, "What is the greatest commandment? Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Understand again, there was what? 600 plus laws that they were supposed to follow. So what's the one that we have to follow more than anything else here, Jesus? Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind." You see, the point is just simply this, that you shall love God. So how do we do that? We express our love. We have to show our love. Which one's the show me state?
Missouri.
Okay. We need to be Missouri Christians. I just thought of that one. The show me. Show me you love me. So how do we do this? I think sometimes we feel like we have to learn how to worship, learn how to love God. But understand, when God made you a new creation, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He literally changes who you are. He changes who you are from the inside out, and He actually changes you so that you want to love Him, so that you can and are able to worship Him. You see, God gave you a new heart. And we know the heart, I mean, if you look at, okay, you say heart, or you can say soul, the heart is the seat of your emotions. You know, it's that which where passion is derived from, to where you can say, oh, I love my wife so much, or, oh, I love chocolate, or I, you know, whatever. You know, you have this emotional feeling towards something or someone. God changed the heart so that you have these emotional feelings and desires and wants to love and worship Him.
Amen.
Deuteronomy, again, chapter 30, verse 6. It says, "The Lord your God will change your heart and the hearts of your descendants so that you will love Him with all of your heart, your soul, and so that you may live." You see, God is the one who changes our heart. He is the one that draws us to Him. And when you say, oh, I love God, how do I show my love? You express it in worship, and not just in song, but that you show how you love Him by what you do, by what you say. You see, it's God. He is the one who will change your heart. And He changes your heart for your benefit.
That's right.
He does this to make it better for your life. Have you ever looked at somebody else in church and thought, oh, I wish I could love God the way that person loves God?
Yeah.
Anybody? Have you ever seen somebody like that? There's just something about this person. Like you see someone, they're like, they're passionate, they're happy, they're expressive. I wish I was like that. Have you ever thought this? I wish I had as much of God as so-and-so has. It just seems like they're so close to God. It just seems like they have so much character. It just seems like, you know, things don't really get them down, but you can tell they're close to God. I wish I had as much of God in my life as so-and-so has in their life. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever thought that there's somebody else who has more of God in their life than you have in your life? Why is that? I mean, I've thought the same thing. Why do we feel that there might be somebody else who has more of God than we do? And it has something to do with love. And love does two things. You'll find this in your notes as well. The first thing that love does is sometimes love can leak. L-E-A-K. It can leak. Your heart, when God makes you a new creation, is full of His love. But it can leak. If any of you are or have been married, you maybe have said this, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, you have this covenant where you say, in the good and in the bad, I will love you. Now, when you say that, you know, you're in the heat of the moment and everybody's there and they're all paying attention, you're saying those words. But, you know, have you ever thought about, you know, when marriage gets bad? It happens. This isn't for anybody. I mean, it is. It's for everybody. And you're like, oh, I committed for better or for worse. Well, today sure feels like a lot worse than better. And has your love ever just kind of leaked out a little bit? I know there's those people who've been married for 50, 60, 70 years, like, I love them more today than I did the first day we met. Yes, you do. But there are times where you feel like you love just a little bit less. Am I right? Okay. And my wife is wonderful. I love her so much. More every day. But you know, there are times in your life where it feels like your love can leak out a bit. Am I right? There are times, I mean, because understand, you are the bride of Christ. You are married to Jesus, and He's the perfect husband. He's God. But yet there are still times where it seems like we love Him less because we can look at somebody else and say, man, I wish I could love God like they love God. Why do I feel they love God so much more than I love God? Well, maybe it's because your love has leaked out a little bit.
Come on.
What has caused your love to leak? In Ephesians chapter 6, we talked about this a couple months ago. We were talking about the armor of God. There's one piece of the armor. It talks about the shield of faith. And it says that you put up the shield of faith to do what? To quench the fiery darts of the devil.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I wish I'd have had more forethought in this because I was going to get like a gallon jug and then get some darts. But I didn't want someone to like poke them in the wall. So, you know. But visualize with me your heart like a gallon milk jug full of water. Red water. We won't say blood, just like color red dyed water. Now imagine, there's the devil, and he sees your heart, and he's throwing darts at your heart. What is he trying to do? He's trying to hit your heart to make it leak out. What are his darts? How does he try to put holes in our hearts? With hurt, offense, judgments, lies, unforgiveness. All the time these things are coming at our lives, all the time, to try to hit us, to get a kill shot. Maybe not necessarily a kill shot, but just enough to get a wound on your heart so that your love might just leak out. That's why we have to have the shield of faith. To stop those, to keep our hearts full of love for God. These darts, they can put holes in our hearts. But understand, we don't have to receive these. So you could ask yourself right now, you know, it does feel like I love God less. Maybe I have been sort of apathetic, or I've been cold, or what have you been getting hit with? What are the darts that you have allowed to get past your armor that have hit your heart? You see, if you receive a dart, it will put a hole in your heart. That rhymes. If you receive a dart, it can put a hole in your heart. I just caught that right now. Write that down in your notes. You've got a little room there. If you receive a dart, you'll get a hole in your heart. Okay? Say after me. If you receive a dart, you'll get a hole in your heart. Can you say it without me? Okay. So this might be a reason that you think somebody else loves God more than you do. You know, each and every one of us have the exact same opportunities to love God. God doesn't give Shane a greater portion of love for him than he gives me of God. But maybe Shane's done a better job of protecting his heart than I have. And so because it seems like he loves God more because he's done a better job protecting himself than I have. What are the areas in your life where you've let the devil hit you with darts and your love has kind of leaked out? And you don't want to worship. You don't want to express your love because you don't feel like you got a lot of love to express to God. Here's the second thing. Love grows. So think about that. Okay, love leaks, but love can also grow. We talked about marriage. After marriage, then hopefully you have babies. I mean, think about this. You remember your kids? I remember when both of my daughters were born, I thought, there is no way I can love a little sack of guts more than I love this one right here. I didn't think they were very pretty. I don't care what anybody says. Babies are not pretty. They're ugly. But they're my ugly, right? And they're your wife's ugly, and so you love your little ugly, and it's so ugly it's cute, right? But stay with me on this. You love that baby because it's your baby. And you think, it is an amazing miracle. And it's just, the emotions of love, I mean, maybe not most guys, but, you know, a lot of guys are more reserved. And, you know, for me anyways, until something hits me, it doesn't really exist. You know, like when we went to Hawaii a couple months ago, my wife keeps asked me, she goes, are you excited? Are you excited? Like, no, we're not there yet. It doesn't hit me until it's happening. Can anybody relate to that? Same thing, you know, having kids. You start seeing the baby bump and all these different things. You can feel it moving around. You see the ultrasounds. And yeah, that is exciting. But until I'm face to face with my kid, something just happened in a moment. All of a sudden, there was a love I've never felt before as a dad for this baby. And it's like, how could I love anything more than this? But here's the thing. That love grows. And I love my daughters more than I did when they were born. Because I get to know who they are and see their personalities develop and see them grow up and see them do things and accomplish things and receive their love towards me. And it's a growing thing. You see, it's the same way between us and God. When we worship God, when we express our love to Him, that love will grow for Him. His love's not growing towards us, but we are seeing more of His love as we love Him. So love in our hearts, it can leak, but it can also grow. What about this? Have you ever heard the expression where your love grows cold? In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, this is talking about the last days. You know, it talks about tribulations and earthquakes and pestilences and wars. And one of the key things that Matthew writes that says, or that Jesus says that Matthew writes down is this. It says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. This is talking about Christian believers. This is talking about those who were in love with God, and their love is diminishing and getting cold. Think about that. We talk about love, and where does love come from? Love comes from the heart. What's a cold heart? A dead heart. I mean, if blood's pumping through your heart, it's alive. But if your love is cold, it means your heart's dying.
That's right.
You need to turn that around. You see, these are the moments, and I don't know that there's a single Christian who hasn't been in this point where something's happened to where they can feel like their love is just kind of getting cold. But these are the times where we're supposed to be pressing into God the most. This is where that choice love, agape love, where God is saying, you must love me. I command you to love me. Even when your love grows cold. Because if you choose to love me, if you choose to follow this command, it's going to be for your benefit. Because we can bring that heart back to life. We can get some warmth back into it. We can help it grow in the right direction. But if you keep letting it get cold, it's going to lead to death, because a cold heart is a dying heart.
Sorry.
And that's not what God has for our lives. We are supposed to press in to God. You see, this is when we need to be honest with God and tell Him, I don't feel the way I used to feel. God, I don't want to. And I'll tell you what, He's big enough to handle that. And His grace is sufficient. And His grace, I mean, I've been here. I've been at the place where I felt cold and tired and not wanting to go forward. But the Holy Spirit saying inside of me, just ask. And I've literally said, God, I don't want to worship you right now. I don't feel like it. I'm cold. I'm tired. But will you help me?
Amen.
And He starts to show things to me in my life. He starts to pull out maybe those darts. He starts to help me put my shield back up, and I start to fill back up, and I get a little bit warmer, and it's His grace in my life that's doing this.
Amen.
It's not by my effort, but by His grace. But it takes my part to say, God, I choose to love You even when I don't feel like it, because You command me to love You with all my mind, my soul, my strength, my heart, my power, who I am. So help me be this to You. So the second thing is this. So point number two. Worship is expressed. So worship is love, and worship is expressed because love is expressed. You see, if you say that it's love, or if it is love, but you don't express it, then you're not worshiping. Well, I love God, but I just don't know how to show God. Well, we express our love by how we show it to Him. If you're in a marriage and you never express your love to your spouse, it's not a good marriage. Well, I told you 20 years ago I love you. What more do you want from me? I said it once. Isn't that enough? No, it's not. Love needs to be communicated. And this is the key thing. It needs to be communicated. It means giving and receiving. You see, God created us to communicate with Him. And to communicate our love to Him and with Him. To walk with Him. To talk with Him. It means to have a giving and receiving. This is what you may have noticed. I've talked a lot about Adam and Eve and the garden during this time. Because it's when it was fresh. It was when it was just right. God and His people. In relationship. Loving each other. Worship taking place. And they did this, and it was good, all the way until sin came into the garden. Have you ever read your Bible and you found something that you've never saw before? Isn't it crazy how you can read through your Bible time and time and time again, and then all of a sudden something pops out that you never saw before? I want to share with you something that popped out to me when we were doing our track reading plan, our SOAP track reading. We went through Genesis here a month or so back. And in Genesis chapter 4, so sin had come into the garden. Adam and Eve sinned. They were separated from God. All this stuff took place, and they were separated. And then we find in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, what had happened is Abel had been killed by Cain, and Adam and Eve are about to have another son. It says, Adam and Eve had sexual relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to another son. She named him Seth, for she said, God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. Here's the focus. Verse 26. When Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. I have never seen this before. So, from the time that sin entered humanity until this time right here, mankind had not worshipped God by name. How long was this? I mean, understand, Adam and Eve, they lived like 900 years. Seth, he lived a long, long time as well, hundreds of years. A lot of time had taken place. There was a change in the relationship between mankind and God at this point when Enosh, Seth's son, was born. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. Think about this. Adam and Eve, when they were made, I keep saying created, but they were made by God. When Adam and Eve were made, they worshiped. Sin came into the picture and the relationship changed. You know, God still talked to them, but they didn't worship him by name. And think about this. God talked to them in questions, and they had to give answers. Where are you? Oh, we were hiding. Where is your brother, Cain? Well, am I my brother's keeper? There was a question, there were answers, and then there was a judgment. Think about this. Adam and Eve, where are you? Oh, we were scared because, you know, we were naked. And he goes, you ate of the tree, didn't you? Yes, we did. Okay, and then what happened? Judgment. You're gone. You're out of my presence. He comes up to Cain and Abel. Cain, where is your brother Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? No, what did you do to him? I killed him. You're out of my presence. This isn't a relationship. This is a question, an answer, and a judgment. But something happened. Something changed. And I don't even know what it is, but something changed when Enosh came on the picture. Because people first now began to worship God by name. And understand, too, it's not like this just happened after a couple days, because you know you can read through Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 4 in about 15 minutes. This is years, possibly hundreds of years, between the time where Adam and Eve sinned, or let sin come into creation, and that Enosh was born. It was with Seth's son that for the first time, people started to call out to God again. You see, this is the thing that we need in our lives. We need to call out to God. God, I need you. God, I love you. We call out to him by name the same way that Enosh did. You see, people began to communicate with God. They began to worship God. They started to do that which they were made to do, to worship. You know, I want to sort of start to wrap this up. And for me, I mean, of course I'm a guy. And so, for me, one of the things that I see so much lacking in the church is men who worship. But you know, we all worship differently. It's not like you have to be, you know, prostrate on your face before God and being loud and exuberant. But, you know, As men, you know, as the head of our households, we need to be able to provide an example of worship for our families. Our kids need to see dads who worship God and love God. You know, our wives need a husband who worships God. We're needed in this. So this is a passion of mine, and it always drives me crazy because it's just the way we are. But Men in worship, men worship differently than women do. Men express their love and communicate their love differently than women do. And I want to do just a quick comparison between the two. You know, for women, it's easier for a woman to communicate through words their love than it is for guys. You know, there's different, different therapists and Christian writers. They say, you know, like men only have so many words and women have more words than men do. And we use our words up faster than they do. And so, like today, it's funny. We'll go home today and my wife won't talk. It's like, I can't talk to you anymore. I just used 10,000 words in a half an hour and I have no more to use. Want to go do something? There's the key. Men like to do things in relationships. Women like to talk and listen. Men learn by watching and doing. Women learn by communicating, listening, and talking. Men don't really learn this way. How do we learn to drive? Not by reading a book. We do it, right? Anything that a guy likes to do or that learns, he learns by doing it. It's the same thing with relationships. Guys build relationships by doing things, not by talking. Seriously. Let's get biblical on this. Jesus had 12 disciples. They were all guys, right? What did he tell them? Watch what I do. And then you do it too. And they're like, okay. Watch, do. Do you know why Jesus told parables? For women. They needed to hear something. And they got it because, no, this isn't a dog. This isn't like a smack on ladies. They're smarter than us in this way because look what happens. You never saw a woman come to Jesus and say, what did you mean by that? But there's not a single time the disciples didn't say, what? No, seriously. Let me explain to you one thing at a time. This is how it was. Women can talk and listen and learn. Men don't do that. We learn by doing or observing or watching. And here's the thing. Even Jesus himself, I found a verse for this. John 5, verse 19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So again, when we're talking about guys and worship, we worship by doing. And this is where it is important. I mean, guys, if there's anything that you can do in worship, even if you're not singing, if you're not talking, lift your hands. Do something. It's a good expression, and your action is doing something in your relationship with God. You see, this is how Jesus trained them. Watch me do it. Watch me do it. It's ingrained inside of us as how we were made. You see, men do things together to get closer to each other in relationship. You just don't go sit down and drink a cup of coffee and talk. Maybe later, but we do things. Has any guy ever had your wife say this to you? So what'd you guys talk about? Nothing. And then they're frustrated by that. You were gone for like 4 hours and you never talked? No. They don't get it. Because we're gone for 4 hours doing something. You don't talk when you hunt. You don't talk when you golf. You don't talk when you fish. You do. Okay, I'll have to use Kyler for this.
Do you need me to stand?
No, you don't have to. Oh, okay. But we're going to have a conversation.
Oh, sweet.
But we're going to have a guy conversation. So, how's it going?
It's good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good.
Cool.
What you doing today?
Not a lot. What about you?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Good talk.
That was a conversation. This is how we do it, ladies. So, what'd you talk about? Nothing. How is he? He's good. That's all? Yeah.
That's because that's what I asked him about you. I'm like, how's Tyler? He's good.
Is it that? We laugh because this is true. There is nothing wrong, guys, with embracing how you were made. You don't have to use a lot of words to worship God, to express your love. Maybe guys can do that more by doing. Don't think that you have to sit down for hours and just talk to God. Do something for God. You know, it can be while you're hunting. It could be, I mean, you could be out on the lake fishing. You could be out golfing. You could be working on your car, whatever it is, swinging a hammer. And you say, you know what, God? You're good. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, you're good too. And you say, well, good. And that is worship. I won't even go here and say, ask a woman what she talked about. They don't stop. Men are different. But men do talk. Do you want to know how to get a guy to talk, ladies? Ask him about what he did. Not what he talked about, what he did. And a guy will talk to you. Wives? Ask your husband, so what'd you do today, honey? Well, nothing. I don't know. Let me qualify it. If you'll talk to a guy about what he's passionate about, he'll talk. This is one of you may think that I'm a big talker because I talk now, but I'm not a big talker. It's not my best thing. But if I can find something that somebody else is passionate about, then I can talk about what they're passionate about and at least try to get my way through a conversation. But that's how it is. And if somebody finds something that I'm passionate about, you can't shut me up.
Amen.
But the key is passion. Men, are you passionate about God? How much do you talk about God? Maybe you need to ask the Lord, stir up that passion in me again. Help me to want to be with you, to do things with you. And your family needs to see our passions. It needs to be more than football or hunting or a fast car or golfing or work. Our family should see our passion as our God. And when our families see that we're passionate about God, that's worship. Because you're expressing your love for God. We communicate what we're passionate about. You know, sometimes I wish I was more passionate about God. I do. We need to understand, He loves you. But He also created you to love. He created you with the ability to love and the ability to communicate. Different for everybody. We all do it differently, but there is a way that you can communicate your love to God, and it is worship. Just talk to Him. When we come together and worship Him. Let His presence be in your life. Amen. What is worship? It is love expressed. This is one of the greatest things about church, I think. Because we have this opportunity where we can come together and express our love to God. Yes, it's in song, but it's so much more than that. Amen. It's a corporate experience of God's presence. So all that to wrap it up to this. I am just asking each and every one of us here to love God. Express your love to God in your life. And I promise you that you will live in His presence. It's super simple. That's all it is. Express your love to God in worship, and you will experience His presence. Amen. I'm 10 minutes done early. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for my life. I thank you for this church family, Lord. I thank you that we are here in this place and this time. Father, if there are areas of our lives where we've allowed leaks in our heart, God, I ask for your healing touch. Father, if we have grown cold in our love, Father, help us to turn it around and grow warm in our love. Help us to grow in love for you. And Father, I ask that by your Holy Spirit that you'd show each and every one of us the unique way in which we can communicate and express our love to you. You don't want us to all be the same. You made us special and unique, each one of us. So Lord, I ask that this week that you just show each and every one of us by your Holy Spirit that way in which we can express our love to you. And Father, let us be aware that your presence is in our lives and that you go with us as we go out and you're with us as we come in. We love you, we praise you, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our families, God. We thank you for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. And we will see you next time.